Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the pre-signing day edition of The Yard. I was going to record last night, but the phones wouldn't stop ringing. Wanted to wait till we had as much up-to-date intel for you as we possibly could as you guys prepare for the opening of the December signing period on Wednesday, December the 4th. We'll be back tomorrow evening after we speak with Coach Jeff Levy. That press conference is scheduled for around noon tomorrow, and so we'll get back in the afternoon and kind of get settled and kind of bring you guys up to speed on kind of what's happened. There is a little intrigue as we get into the final 20 hours or so before national signing period begins. I go back to, I've been at this a long time. Been covering Mississippi State since 1997. And, been covering recruiting, I guess, now for over 20 years. But I go back to, there were so many people that felt like we needed to have an early signing period and for football. I was totally against it. We actually ran the numbers on it and just basically found out that it really just wasn't going to change much. And it hasn't changed much, except for the fact that we have people signing in December instead of February. And you really only eliminated, really about 3 weeks worth of recruiting. So you didn't gain much in that respect. What's interesting, too, kind of unbeknownst to many of you, no in-home visits this year. Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, no in-home visits. That was a big part of our coverage, and people talk about, it's a big boom for you guys in the recruiting industry because you get, the December signing period. Now you get the portal signing period. Then you get the February signing period. Now, that's true, but no in-home visits, and that was a big part of things. And because of the fact that, the official visits were a big part of January, that was the big thing. January was all about official visits. And so when you have guys that are playing for state championships, and we have a handful this week, guys that we're recruiting, and so they don't get the benefit of taking a bunch of official visits. And maybe that's a good thing for a school like Mississippi State. But no in-home visits, and then no December official visits because the signing day is the 4th. And so, do you think guys really have the option? How many guys do you know that really have the juice to tell a school, hey, I'm not going to sign in December. I'm going to go ahead and take my visits in December, and then maybe I'll sign with you guys in February? It just doesn't happen that way, guys. It just doesn't happen that way. So, the recruiting calendar continues to change. And every time I turn around, they've changed and changed and changed and changed and changed. And there were so many official visits taken back in June, and you were thinking, why would we do this? Well, it's because of the fact the calendar changed so dramatically. And again, no in-home visits this year. And so you got to get your best recruiting efforts, in many respects, done in the summer months. And so we're going to take some time today to kind of go over the class, who we have, who we expect to keep, and perhaps who we're going to add. So there will be no top 10 list today. We'll work the ads in as we go. But this is your pre-signing day preview, and there's been a lot of chatter about a lot of players getting some late overtures from other schools. So we're going to go over all that today, and you'll be fully equipped for what may come tomorrow. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. You do too, and I know your kids do. When you ask the kids, hey, we want to go out tonight, where do you want to go? They're going to tell you Bulldog Burger Company. And how many of you live in an area where you don't have a Bulldog Burger Company and you wish you did? So when you're in town or on the way to town, Bulldog Burger Company is the place for you. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive here in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They will make you and everybody around you better looking, and the world needs more of that. Get that great restaurant quality hamburger. You'll be glad you did. If you're new to Bulldog Burger Company, let me recommend the Bulldog. That is a good gateway burger into the Bulldog Burger Company experience. It's a good straight ahead rock and roll hamburger. Get that chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Again, I've recently been on a smokehouse kick. And so if you've had the Bulldog before and you're ready to branch out and be a little more adventurous with your dining choices at Bulldog Burger Company, maybe the Smokehouse is for you. Yeah, and be sure and ask about their specials. Some really cool stuff that kind of comes and goes from time to time to kind of keep the experience fresh. Bulldog Burger Company is part of the Eat With Us group, a great restaurant group that has served the Golden Triangle well for so many years. They know how to feed folks, including you. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. We're going to start with the highest rated players. We're going to work our way down. We're going to spend an hour or so about these guys, and then we'll talk a little bit about who could be next and some names to watch tomorrow. We'll start with Tyshawn Willis. Currently the highest rated player in the Mississippi State class. He is currently a 94. And out of Elma Jackson, plays for Bernard Yule down there. I had a chance to see Tyshawn Willis play in person against French Camp Academy here a few weeks back. He is an explosive player, and as I shared with you guys then, what I love most about him is not just the fact that he is a great player, but he is a great teammate. He is a great sportsman. Now, early on, Mississippi State, we really thought we'd get him in the boat way back really early in the spring. It took until April 22nd. And, of course, that's after Ole Miss offered. And, of course, once they offered, they deluded themselves into thinking, well, now that we've offered, he'll go to Ole Miss. He didn't go to Ole Miss. He has been true to Mississippi State the entire time. He actually is a big fan of Colvin Hutzler. State plans to use him and probably has the potential to play early. And we're going to talk about some portal stuff later in the show. But early playing time appears to be a real option for many of these defensive players that are coming on. Of course, we're going to work the portal very hard too. But Tyshawn Willis is a guy that I could see playing some snaps next year. Now, he lines up essentially as an edge in high school, but he is going to be a two-point stance guy all the way on the college level. Kamario Taylor, quarterback out of Oxby County. He'll play for a state championship on Thursday afternoon. I'll be there. Looking forward to watching the game. Now, you may recall Kamario Taylor was a guy that we have known was going to be Bulldog for a long time. Committed to state way back October of 23 and has remained true. Stayed with us through the coaching change. Of course, Matt Holchak and Jeff Levy get here. They continue to prioritize Kamario Taylor and told him, hey, you were QB1. We're not going to take any other quarterbacks. We're not going to scholarship any other quarterbacks. You're our guy. Georgia made a run at him. He didn't even take the official visit. Of course, there were some, quote, insiders, Dr. Evil quotes, insiders, that said he was going to take that visit to Georgia. Well, I had a chance to watch him play against Jeff Davis County the weekend before that visit was scheduled to take place. He told me then, I don't know if I'm going to take it or not. Well, it turns out he didn't take it. Texas A&M made a late run at him. Couldn't get him to take a visit. This guy, we talk about, decade or generational type players. If Kamario Taylor stays healthy, he is that caliber of quarterback. He is a guy that has a real opportunity to come in here and be a program changer. He is a guy, I think if it's fair to say right now, he's bigger than Michael Van Buren. I think he is a better runner than Michael Van Buren. He's got a great lower half, and he's a guy, once he gets in the college weight room, is going to be an absolute monster. But again, it goes back to Mississippi State's ability to evaluate quarterbacks, right? We get on him early, get him committed, and then some of the biggest names in the Southeastern Conference make a late push because that's what they're used to doing. It's like, hey, he's committed to Mississippi State. Let's go get him. But even Alabama folks will tell you, it's tough to come to Mississippi and beat State and Ole Miss for an in-state kid. And this is a guy that related to Omar Connor, and Knoxville County has been so great to Mississippi State over the years. Listed at 6'3.5", I think he's actually bigger than that. Had a big growth spurt in the offseason. A guy, too, that got invited to the Elite 11, so he had a chance to kind of showcase his skills there. But when you're going to build a class, you want to build it around a quarterback, and State certainly has the quarterback to build around. Tyler Lockhart, some intrigue about him as of late. And the latest information that we have is we expect Tyler Lockhart to stick with Mississippi State. Now, Ole Miss has made a late run. He went up there to watch the Egg Bowl. spent the night, stayed, spent some time with him. So, of course, then the Ole Miss people all get all excited. Oh, he's going to flip, he's going to flip, he's going to flip. I honestly think there's some misinformation out there just to kind of goad Mississippi State people. Not to say that Tyler Lockhart couldn't play at Ole Miss, he could. But it kind of defeats the purpose, right? Tyler Lockhart and Fred Clark and T.J. Lockhart, Tyler's older brother, are exceptionally close. There are two brothers and a friend. They may as well be three brothers. And so Tyler, early in the process, committed to Auburn. I told everybody I'm not worried about that. People didn't want to believe me. Well, of course, he backs off that commitment and commits to Mississippi State. Ole Miss done their best to try to make things interesting. So we'll breathe a bit of a sigh of relief once it's announced that he signed with Mississippi State, but we do expect him to follow through. It's also the dead period in Mississippi, and so that can be a bit of a spooky time for all involved. But you knew they were going to make a late run. Pete Golding kind of involved with all this, kind of pushing the process, and Pete's got problems of his own on and off the field. And so, and Pete can talk to you about that stuff. But nevertheless, yeah, they would love to flip a Mississippi State commitment late. It's in the Ole Miss playbook, and it appears they've targeted Tyler. But so far, as of last night, he's holding strong. We'll see what the next day holds. But as of now, we do expect him to stick with State. Not ruling it out, but that's the expectation. The first El Shepard's kind of interesting. We'll see what happens with him. And there's a lot of things I could say here. I'm not exactly sure what we need to say today. But first, El Shepard could be a guy that ends up not signing tomorrow, and it may be one of those follow-for-now type deals. And we'll just kind of leave it at that for now. It's not that anybody has come after him or anything like that. There's just some things that got to get cleared up, and maybe they get cleared up today. I don't know. But Xavion Hardy out of East Mississippi Community College, a great get for State in season. He took an official visit to State back in June. He didn't commit then. A lot of people said, well, he's probably not coming then. But we felt confident about him all throughout the summer months. I went to the media day opportunity there at East Mississippi Community College, had a chance to speak with Zay, and he said then, I really don't want to talk a lot about my recruitment. I kind of want to talk about my team and the season. And you get that, right? But yeah, State gets it done, and it was one of those deals, too. Initially, he'd planned to wait and announce on his birthday, but Mississippi State's like, hey, we got to get some juice going. We really need to kind of let people know we've got this recruiting thing kind of going in our direction, and so he does. He backs off his initial plans to announce in November, announces in October, and there's a few people out there, too. It's so funny, too. I went and had an exclusive interview with Zay. And some people are like, oh, I can't believe Steve called that an exclusive. Well, here's how that works. I'm the only one interviewing him. I'm the only one that was there to ask him questions. I'm the only one he was speaking to. So that qualifies as an exclusive. I'm sorry if you disagree. And, you know, he set his decision date then, but, of course, backed off of it. We were on top of that the entire time. Tony Mitchell, this is a great job by Mississippi State. And it kind of gets lost in translation. Tony, former Alabama player, transfers to SCUBA, gets offered by Ole Miss, State, a couple others. Ole Miss has tried to come back on him in recent days, but at this point he is holding firm. This is a great get for Mississippi State. When we look at, you know, impact players, Tony is a D1 bounce back, an SEC bounce back, a defensive back that was courted and recruited by Nick Saban himself. And so this is a guy that we do expect to come in next year and make an impact. December grad will be here for spring practice. But again, Ole Miss and a couple of others have tried to make a late push with him. However, we appear to be in a good position with him. Diamond Jackson, listed as Davian Jackson, had a chance to watch him play earlier this year against Turlings Catholic down in New Iberia at Westgate High School. Diamond, as we say, is really a guy that makes a lot of sense for Chad Bumpus. A lot of sense for Chad Bumpus because of the fact that, you know, he is a really, really good player, but also he kind of fits that Bumpus mold. Now, when I saw him play, he basically had to switch over and play running back because of the fact their their quarterback got hurt. They were already playing with a second-team quarterback. He got knocked out of the game. So in order to get him the football, they had to move him down and play him in the backfield, and did the best he could. But I like him a lot. I think he's a guy that can really run. When you get out in the open field, if you miss him, it's a touchdown. All right, Spencer Dolan, offensive tackle from Athens, Alabama. This is right in Cody Kennedy's wheelhouse there. That neck of the woods where Cody's from. He's got a lot of relationships down there. Spencer was committed to Auburn and elected to open it back up. Before he formally decommitted, he took game day visits to both Ole Miss and Mississippi State. And, of course, like clockwork, you know, the Ole Miss people are like, oh, he's going to come here, he's going to come here. Well, then he doesn't. Oh, we didn't really want him. I mean, it's an old Rebel classic, right? But Spencer, 6'6", 290 pounds. This is a guy that's got a lot of juice. We talk about the guys in the portal. And, guys, we got to get off this merry-go-round, you know, signing 15, 20 guys a year in the portal. And some would say, hey, Steve, that's where it's at. Well, that's not what Georgia and Alabama do. You know, of course, we're not Georgia and Alabama, but we've got to have some continuity in the roster. We just simply – we're going to exhaust our NIL money and all that stuff every single year if we don't begin to sign, cultivate, and develop high school players and then retain them. It's a lot easier to keep guys you have than go out to procure guys you don't. And so Spencer Dolan, I think, is a guy that could come in here. And, again, I don't expect any of these freshmen O-linemen to play much next year. But certainly Spencer's a guy that we talk about getting bigger on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Spencer Dolan certainly gets that done. All right, linebacker A.J. Rice, the first commitment of this 2025 class from Mississippi State, a native of Mississippi. His family's all around Crawford, Mississippi. Yes, that Rice family. Yeah, you know those folks. Salt of the earth type people. And A.J. was the guy that jumped the board very, very early on. Had a really good career at Madison Academy. Played for a state championship last year. Had a chance to watch him play this year and in person. Very impressed with him. I think he's a Mike all the way. I think he has the physicality and the intelligence to make the checks. He played a lot of Mike in high school, and you could see he was a guy. Again, we talk about like Tyshawn Willis being a great teammate. It's the same thing with A.J. You know, this is a guy that runs around there, and probably nobody gets more excited when they make a stop than him. Doesn't matter to him if he made the tackle or not. The night that I went and watched him play, he had about a dozen tackles and then didn't play the fourth quarter at a running clock. But I really like him, and I like our linebacker group, to be honest with you. Our tight end, Joseph Skipworth, he flips from Kansas to Mississippi State. And we knew once he came in, our Kansas publisher reached out to me and said, hey, is this kid really visiting Mississippi State? And I said, yeah, that's the expectation. And he goes, well, you know, the coaching staff here, that there's only been one kid under the current coaching staff that's taken an official visit after offering their commitment, and he ended up signing with Colorado. The staff has a big policy that you don't visit other schools, and some people think it's only us that has these feelings. We're not nearly as rigid about that as we once were. But I'm told when Skipworth's family showed up, like his mom had like all detailed out about how many passes we had thrown to the tight end, how we use the tight end. Everybody says, hey, next year we plan to use the tight end more, and then they don't, right? Jeff Levy's using the tight end and doing a good job with that. And so Skipworth, also a lot closer to Milton, Florida. He's out of Pace High School. Pace High School has had a tremendous run in the last 20 years of producing college prospects. 6'5", 220, a guy that can really catch a football well. Got to add some mass, but a guy that we're really excited about in the years ahead. Anson Lewis or A.J. Lewis, depending on where you're from or how you know him.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Much of his career at Columbia High School, He is one of those guys that has seen his ranking decrease over the course of the spring and summer. Now, the reason for that is he had off-season surgery, and maybe not surgery. He had an injury last year, and it limited his ability to go out and get seen in these camps. Only went, I think, with the Florida State and OSU, and even then he wasn't 100%. And so sometimes camping is not the best thing for you. I'm a firm believer when you got to get out and go let people see you, you want to be evaluated, you want to go compete. But if you're not 100% and people aren't aware of that, it could hurt you. And I think that's the case here with A.J. Lewis. I think it's a great thing for Mississippi State because of the fact that we didn't have to fight as hard down the stretch. Now, early on, he had offers from everybody, USC, Ohio State. Transfers to Oak Grove, had a good year, maybe not a great year. But he was the guy in the very beginning. I had rated as the second highest receiver in the state in my initial rankings behind Caleb Cunningham. And so I don't think that he is in Caleb's league, but I think he is very, very good. I think Caleb Cunningham is probably one of the five best receivers that I've seen in Mississippi in the time that I've been doing this. And, you know, we talk about that list, right? What's DeAndre Brown, A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf? I have to think about who the next guy is. But I got Caleb Cunningham in that league, right? I've got Anson behind him in the rankings. And I think this is a guy, this may end up being a value commitment. And what I mean by that is it's a guy that State was able to get without having to really fight down the stretch to keep him. And I think in the end we're going to get a lot of value out of him as a player. Really like his game a lot. Got a good catch rate. He's listed at 6 foot, 195. He may be a shade bigger than that. But a really good player, for sure. And again, from native of my hometown of Columbia, Mississippi. Jerron Johnson had a chance to watch him play earlier this year against Kirkwood Academy or Kirkwood High School there in the playoffs. Jerron's a really good player. Really good player. We had him in camp this summer, so I had a chance to see him in camp. And he was a lot bigger than I expected him to be. And then I go see him play this fall, and he's a little bit faster than I expected him to be. I think he fits exactly what Jeff Levy wants to do. Now, he's got to get in the weight room. He probably needs a redshirt year to kind of bulk up and learn to play at a new playing weight. But the raw materials are very, very good. And this, again, is a product of good camp evaluations. You know, when he came in, he didn't have a whole lot going on. You know, he had a few things, but Jerron has had a lot of people kind of come after him. I had a chance to visit with him and his dad after the ball game against Kirkwood. The dad had on a Jerron custom hoodie with the State Script logo all over it. They're locked in and recently celebrated a birthday. But this is a young man here that may have almost gone unheralded in this class. You know, there's so much. A lot of people have just not really been able to enjoy the recruiting process because, like, you know, Steve, we're losing so many games, we're going to lose a bunch of commitments. And we really haven't. And when Austin Howard flipped back to Vanderbilt, that's his teammate, the linebacker. And to be fair, I like Austin Howard. I don't like him as much as the guys that we have committed. Now, that's not sour grapes. I've seen him play in person. Maybe you haven't. I've seen him in camp. Maybe you haven't. But the reality of this is if we were going to lose Austin Howard and then maintain the rest of our backers, you know, Tyler Lockhart and AJ and, you know, I think if I had to drop one of those guys, it would have been Austin. True story. But Jerron Johnson, really good player, and I think another guy, too, that's kind of a value commitment, a guy that you just don't hear a lot about. But I think once he gets here and gets up to college weight, gets up to SEC speed, you're going to be thinking, yeah, who did we beat for this kid? All right, Saquon Miles, offensive lineman out of Hinds County Community College. He also has had a late overture from Ole Miss. He took an official visit there last week, and, of course, they think they're going to flip him. They think they're going to flip everybody, including me and you. But the last report we have on Saquon is that he is sticking with State. I have learned to never say never in recruiting, especially the last 24 hours. And so I know that Ole Miss will desperately go out and try to flip one of our guys. And I think he is one of those guys, too, that they will target here in the final hours. But, you know, we have a good relationship there with Hinds. I don't think that they're going to stand for any malfeasance or anything like that. And I think they would let us know if there was a problem. But again, as of last night, Saquon Miles appears to be locked in with Mississippi State, a 6'6", 300-pound offensive tackle. And it's so interesting, too, that there was so much talk about, you know, even criticism from our own fans about hitting the JUCO ranks as hard as we did, and then only to see that most of the JUCO guys that we've signed also have offers from Ole Miss. So decide how you want to slice that up. All right, defensive tackle Jamarcus Moy, we've talked about him recently. He's a guy that committed over the weekend. And 6'4", 320. And if you saw the pictures out there, I think he's probably heavier than that. He's got to get his weight under control a little bit, but he can probably play at 320. He looks a little bit beefier right now. But he fills a need that we don't have. Guess we went out there how many times this year, Kyle McClendon, and God love Kyle McClendon. I think he's going to be a great player for us. We thought him out there as a true freshman. You know, because of the fact we just don't have any depth. You know, you lose Kendrick Bingley-Jones, you lose Calvin Dinkins, you lose Gabe Moore. I mean, you know, really before the season even gets going, you know, we basically have lost our two deep at defensive tackle. And so Jamarcus is a guy that not a sexy offer list, but some people have come out and said that he was a backup at Tyler Junior College this year. That is absolutely false. That's just that self-loathing segment of our fan base who wants to find fault in everything we do. Do I think this guy's a starter for us? No, I don't. I do think he's a rotation guy, at least in year one. But he fills a need for us because we do not have that big, beefy defensive tackle. I don't even need him to make tackles. Just get in there and just kind of convolute the middle. Get in there and occupy, force double teams and free backers up to make plays. This is a guy I think can be kind of like a P.J. Jones, Caleb Ewells type player. I'm not sure he's got that ability, but I think he could kind of serve that same purpose. I like the take. I know some other people don't. I like the take. All right, Lojack, this is a guy that we have really been kind of concerned about here as of late. That's Laquavian Jackson from Mosley High School. An outstanding senior season for him. Committed to Mississippi State right after his visit or during his visit back in June. I had Neil Stopchinski, you know, former director of scouting under Dan Mullen, who works for us over at jeanspage.com, take a look. I said, you know, I'm kind of on the fence about this kid. What do you think? And then, of course, Neil finds some video out there that just blows my mind. This is a guy that can really play. And Neil comes back and says, yeah, tell 247, don't change his rating. Just keep him right where he is. We want to keep this kid hidden as best we can. He's actually been upgraded in the rankings twice since he committed to Mississippi State. Now, I still think it's too low, but you know what? That won't matter when he gets on the field. It doesn't matter how many stars are next to your name when it's fourth and goal in the one in the Iron Bowl or the Egg Bowl or those big ball games. You got to get out there and make plays. Now, he took an official visit at Louisville, and that concerned us, right? They've been great the entire process, and all of a sudden he takes a visit at Louisville. Reports of him taking Mississippi State off his social media accounts. It's always a big concern. Well, then Florida State offers. Talking with our counterparts that cover Florida State, it does appear that he is a take for Florida State, but they do not expect him. And as of last night, it appears that Lojack is going to stick with us. That's big. I know Louisville is making a late push and trying to throw some money around, and we're doing our best to kind of counter. It's a different world these days. But as of now, we expect to keep him. I won't sleep, really, until tomorrow when all this is over and beyond us. All right, Sekou Smith Jr., another guy that committed on his visit back in June. Missed a little bit of time this year, but had a good year. Another safety prospect. I like the raw materials here, but he's probably got it. Needs to redshirt, get bigger and faster, stronger. Not Sekou Smith Jr. of the Sekou you know. Just an incredible coincidence. Incredible. All right, one of the latest commitments, of course, is Isaiah Mitchell. And if you were a JeansPage.com subscriber, you had a chance to read yesterday, you know, why he flipped to Mississippi State, but also, too, his coach kind of raving about him as a player. Now, Isaiah Mitchell did not play as a high school junior. As a sophomore out of Peach County High School, he had an offer from Florida State and others. And then he didn't play because of academics last year. And then he has, 91 catches for 1,700 yards and 19 touchdowns this year. He's explosive. Coach couldn't say enough about him. He's also a full qualifier now. He flips from Cincinnati to Mississippi State after his official visit this past weekend. Very significant get. We talked about Quinn Gibson, and we lose him to Colorado. That's a slot receiver out of North Crowley High School in Texas. And then you replace him with Isaiah Mitchell. What that tells me is that Bumpus and these guys, on offense at least, have a plan, right? It's like, hey, we'd love Quentin Gibson, but then there's Isaiah Mitchell out there too, and Isaiah Mitchell's from Houston County, the same high school as Ricky Johnson. Now, what's interesting about that too is Houston County has two big-time receivers again for next year. And so you take Ricky Johnson in 24, you take Isaiah Mitchell in 25, maybe you take another one from Houston County next year. So Bump doing good work, kind of establishing a pipeline out there. And Ricky's having a good experience at Mississippi State. His coach confirmed that to me yesterday, too. You know, redshirted him this year. He got to play a little bit, caught a big pass. But, you know, he's redshirting. And I think it helps Isaiah, even though they didn't play together. You know, they were in school together last year. And Isaiah was basically a GA working with the receivers. And I think that taught him, number one, a new appreciation for football, but also kind of seeing things from the lens of a coach, you know, having an opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to a coach and kind of see, you know, the things that he emphasizes to all receivers, not just Isaiah specifically. Let's take a break now and thank Blair Chandler, our friend at closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And the older you get, the more you understand, you know, the decisions you make early in life impact you for a long time. The last thing that you want is to get into a bad marriage, get into a bad mortgage. And sometimes those things go together. You know, that's a big part of it, right? That's a big part of it. It's just kind of working through all that aspect of it. And so these are adult decisions that have to be made. You need to entrust them in people that have the know-how and the experience to ensure that you get the best deal possible. And that's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. And what's interesting about that, too, is Blair is a season ticket holder in multiple sports at Mississippi State. He has a place here. He rides the wave of emotion of Mississippi State's wins and losses just like you do. And I like to keep business in the family whenever we can, so I encourage you to do business with Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with him. 24 years of experience in the mortgage industry. One of the best. Great resource for you. So whether you're looking for your new home, your next home, or your retirement home, give your business to Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Okay, Josiah Clemens, this was an interesting take early on. He was at Clinton Christian. Mississippi State brings him in on an unofficial visit very, very, very early in the process. They didn't offer, but you look up there and he's like 6'7", 335 pounds. Playing at Clinton Christian Academy. Can you imagine the nightmares that he put on those kids in that league? Are you kidding me? Well, he commits to Mississippi State. He comes to camp, has a great camp, answers all the questions about his ability, takes the official visit, he commits, and it felt like we were going to skate all the way to signing day. Well, then over the weekend, you know, a couple weekends ago, we had a couple offensive linemen commit, and Josiah makes a post on social media. How are they going to pay those other linemen and not pay me? That's an interesting question, right? And it also kind of raises some eyebrows. It's like, hey, we thought we were good here. Josiah also a guy that moved up yesterday in the ranking, just a point from 85 to 86. But every Mississippi State commitment on the latest edition of the 247 rankings, because sometimes the evaluators of our network get beaten up because people don't understand the composite. Every Mississippi State commitment held their ground and two went up yesterday. So no, and that's two increases for Lojack since committing. But no, we haven't had anybody lose ground this year in their ranking after committing to Mississippi State, despite some rumors to the contrary. But yeah, I understand that things have been cleared up with Josiah. I know Memphis had reached out to him and it's like, hey, if things don't work out with you at Mississippi State, we'd love to have you. But I understand as of last night, things have been cleared up with Josiah. We do expect him to sign, you know, Wednesday. But again, you know, I want, you know, we say all this about expectations, but it would be tough to lose a kid to Memphis. He's been committed to us since June, right? So you got to handle your business. Got to communicate a little bit better. But yeah, I love this kid. I had a chance to watch him play in person against Starkville High School. Went down to Madison, got some video. I was amazed at how well he moves for a guy his size. I can only begin to imagine what he's going to look like after a year in the college weight room. How much better he'll even move. This is a massive human being. Absolutely massive. LaKendrick James, one of my favorite commitments in the class, and nobody talks about him. And we talk about getting better. LaKendrick James was good enough to sign with Mississippi State at a high school. And he wanted to. He was from Northside High School, came to Big Dog Camp with the intention of committing, had some academic work to do. They kind of pushed it back a bit. He ultimately went to Colin. There was no question. Again, this is a guy, too, that Ole Miss offered. You know, of course, why are we chasing all these UCO kids? Well, yeah, they're chasing them, too, you know. But LaKendrick James, there was never any doubt about him coming here. A lot of schools did chase him. But since he's been committed to Mississippi State, it has been a really quiet deal. Excited about LaKendrick James. I think he is a guy that can help you next year. One of the leading tacklers within his league and certainly on his team. I do think that he is a guy that plays next year. Is he a guy that starts? No. But I do think he is a guy that's in the rotation next year and it maybe pushes to start as a senior. And again, a guy that grew up wanting to play at Mississippi State. All right, Mason Clinton, a native of Pedal, Mississippi, and I see him as a depth guy. When I went to East Mississippi Community College Media Day, I had one of their coaches tell me, yeah, Mason Clinton may be our best defensive lineman. Remember, Zay Hardy's down there. I was like, really? He goes, yeah. And what they meant by that is just from a consistency standpoint. But he gets a lot from himself. I think that obviously the ceiling is higher for Zay. But watching Mason play against Itawamba Community College, I was impressed. Do I think he's a starter? No. Do I think he's a rotation guy? Absolutely. And he's 6'5", 290 right now. We talk about getting bigger. Well, this gets it done, right? Guys like him on the two deep with SEC length, size, and girth. You know, sometimes you just need a guy in there to kind of clog up the middle. You need a plugger every now and again. Not everybody's going to be Fletcher Cox. But if you can find some Josh Boyds out there, that's a good thing. Not saying Mason Clinton's on Josh Boyd's level. Josh did a great job for us at Mississippi State. Of course, went on and played some in the NFL. But we have to get bigger. As Jackie Sherrill used to say, big people beat little people up. And when we got a two deeper at 6'5", 290, it'll probably be 305 pounds by the time we get on the field next fall. That gives me some hope. You know, because how many times in years past have we, hey, the front line's good, but we don't have much depth behind them. Guys, a lot of these junior college guys are about building depth. Guys that we expect to be in the rotation. Do I expect Mason Clinton to play 65 snaps a game next year? No. But let's not forget, guys, we had some games. We had Kyle McClendon and Corey Clark basically playing side by side. Kyle McClendon, of course, a true freshman. I'm not knocking Kyle. He had to play before he was ready. Corey Clark is a defensive lineman that we signed out of Northeast Mississippi Community College in June. We signed him in June. And then we had to go play in the rotation in the Southeastern Conference. This is a junior college guy that didn't have anything going on, really. He may have been out of football. And again, we appreciate his contributions to Mississippi State sports. In no way am I being critical of that. But the fact that we had, if that's what we had to play with, kind of explains where we are with this defensive line. Got to get bigger, got to get stronger, got to get more talented. Speaking of talented, a guy that I like a lot, is Amarion Jefferson, defensive back from East Central Community College. He's got about 20 offers. Of course, Mississippi State's the biggest offer. But here's the thing, too. We've talked about this guy. Connections to Jamion Lewis, connections to Deontay Evans, two guys that were part of Mississippi State's run the number one 10 years ago. he grew up kind of watching those guys do some big things at Mississippi State, and he goes, hey, if I ever get a chance to do that, I think I want to go to Mississippi State. It's always been a dream of his. You go watch his film. Guys, this isn't a family nepotism offer. This guy just glides. 6'1", 180. We talk about getting bigger, you know, being more physical. This is a guy, again, do I think he competes for a starting spot next year? No. But I do think he's in a rotation at corner. You know, you hope, you know, Kelly Jones is ready to take the next step. He had a great game against Ole Miss. Bryce Pollock, hopefully you get him, you know, up to speed and playing to the potential you think he has. But you got to have some guys behind him. I mean, we had to play Brylon Lanier at corner sometimes this year. You know, lack of depth. And it's interesting, too. Like, I've seen some people that that were talking about Jeff Lebby's comments about the scout team following the Egg Bowl. I don't think you guys realize how bad this has been. And what I mean by that is, and Jeff didn't say it, so I'll say it for him. There were times this year we had tight ends playing defensive end for the scout team or defensive tackle for the scout team. You know, and here's the thing. That doesn't help anybody. Those are essentially wasted reps, right? Because what you'd like to have is your future defensive lineman. You know, your young guys that are redshirting, guys that you're just trying to kind of get up and teach some technique. You'd like those guys getting those scout team reps. But you didn't. You'd have to take guys from other positions just to put a scout team together. And what caliber of scout are we giving, right, when you got guys that aren't natural to the position? It's a real thing, especially on that defensive line because we had so many injuries. So the guys that should have been on the scout team, the guys that should have been out there kind of learning how to play and take coaching in the SEC, they're having to play. Yeah, throw them out there. And so we talk about, you know, foundational failures, you know, about your roster management. The fact that we got into a situation that we didn't even have enough defensive linemen to fill the scout team. I mean, just let that sink in for a second, right? I just say that because of the fact that I've seen some people kind of pan the comment. Yeah, it's not something we're going to tell you in season. You see, we got guys out there playing scout team that are just basically, you're kind of standing in a spot doing the best they can, playing a position that's not natural to them just because of the fact that that's what we ask them to do. And then those practice reps that they spent, they're not going to help them in the future. You see what I'm saying? It's just kind of wasted reps. And so we've got to get our scout team, and this is where building depth and getting signing younger players matters. And you get these young offensive and defensive linemen, and they cut their teeth on the scout team as redshirts, and then next year they're competing for a spot on the two deep. And then the next year, you know, they're competing for a starting position or in the rotation. But that's been removed because of, you know, the injuries that we've had on the defensive line, not to mention the fact, too, we just didn't carry enough defensive linemen. And I know some people are quick to assign blame and motive. The bottom line is we got to get it fixed. All right, Colin Wilson, running back, another kid. You know, we flipped him, you know, early on. People forget we flipped a lot of kids, too. But Colin Wilson plays for Mark Hudspeth down there at Gulf Shores High School in Gulf Shores, Alabama. You know, those guys had a great year last year, not so much this year. Colin had a big year, for sure. You know, pretty interesting. Pretty interesting, right? We talk about the two running backs that Mississippi State has. I like these two backs. Not the biggest guys. And Colin's the guy that's got to get in the weight room, too. It'll be interesting to see. You know, we got to get us a running back out of the portal. Right, we got three seniors this year, right? And, of course, Jeffrey Pittman and those guys moving on. But, you know, we knew we needed to take two high school backs and go get a guy in the portal. We needed an impact guy in the portal. Everybody knows it. Everybody sees it. You got a couple guys coming back that were banged up this year. You know, Seth Davis didn't play this year. You know, we expect Seth to be full go in the spring. Expect him to be a factor next year. Kevon Lee, of course, banged up. Should be able to get a waiver for him. But, you know, not a lot to work with. You know, Xavier Gayden's back. You know, he had some big plays this year for us as a reserve, and we expect him to take a step next year. But, going into next year with what we have coming in and coming back is probably not enough. So we need to go get an impact back out of the portal. And it didn't have to be great. It's going to be a good one. All right. Jabrius Stewart. Probably the best commitment that most of you don't know. Great story, too. I think I've shared it with you guys, too. He was out of football. He's a native of Crystal Springs, Mississippi. Elected to go to work out in the state of Florida. Got homesick, came back to Mississippi. He's working in a poultry plant. And then Coach Tavares Johnson from Mississippi Delta goes and basically plucks him out, pardon the pun, of the chicken factory and says, hey, man, you need to give football another chance. He does, and then ultimately commits to FIU and then flips to Mississippi State. But 6'3", 200 pounds, runs a legit 4.440, timed multiple times, sub 4.5, and he doesn't even know what he's doing as far as running. He wasn't some track guy. This is just natural athleticism. You go watch his tape, he will absolutely change your all for you. Absolutely change your all for you. Nuts, man. And he's really just kind of getting by on athleticism, you know, rather than technique. And I like him a lot. I had a chance to speak with him. He's super excited about the opportunity. A guy, too, that, you know, from Mississippi Delta Community College. And all due respect to Coach Johnson and those guys. I mean, you know, he's playing in a program that doesn't have a lot of resources. You know, and so, but he's a guy, if nothing else, man, you put him on special teams next year and he'll go down there and just absolutely just destroy people. And then works him in the rotation. I like him at strong safety. He could grow into an outside backer. Just kind of depends on what you want to do with him. But we talk about improving our defensive talent level. That's I think this is a step in the right direction from an athleticism standpoint. One of the more intriguing guys in the class, too, Braden Turnage. Braden Turnage, guys, played 1 year high school football. He's 6'8", 285 pounds. He would beat 300 easy if he didn't play high school basketball. This guy is an absolute monster. Lettered in baseball, basketball, football. A lot of people thought he would be kind of like a Wes Ray, a big strapping first baseman. That's a big strike zone at 6'8". Guys, he comes out for football in August. He didn't even get the benefit of a spring. He shows up in August. Next thing you know, he's starting at Dyersburg High School in Dyersburg, Tennessee. It's not like he's playing at a little small private school. You know, folks at Dyersburg play a pretty good brand of football. And he gets out there and gets to work, and then, you know, all of a sudden, Middle Tennessee, Memphis, and he commits to Memphis. And he's like, hey, maybe this will work out for me. And then Mississippi State brings him in, kind of keeps it quiet, and the next thing you know, they bring him in on an official, and he commits. And shortly after, like, State got involved with him, you know, Florida State and some others started kind of reaching out, like, hey, you know, what's happening here, you know. But, yeah, a freak of an athlete. And again, if you can afford to take some developmental guys, and you can't afford to take many of those, but if you are taking offensive linemen, to me, that's the way to go. Because offensive linemen kind of mature and develop at a different rate. I mean, again, I've made this comment before. Look at the NFL draft. Skill position guys, where do they come from? They come from the Power Five more times than not. But offensive linemen come from everywhere. Everywhere. I mean, how many times do you look up and there's a G5 offensive lineman getting drafted first couple days of the draft? Even some FCS linemen. Because linemen simply mature and develop at a different rate. A lot of those guys need to get bigger and stronger. They've got the long, wiry frame. They got to go add some mass. Then you got to learn to play at a new weight. Got to refine the technique. It's not as simple, right? I mean, you look at a lot of these guys at the skill positions. I mean, you know, they already have the natural athleticism. It's got to be tuck to stick routes. You know, it's a different deal. And so linemen like Braden Turnage, we talk about mass kicks. You know what? When you got a guy that's going to be 6'8", 6'9", 300 pounds, that's a guy that can really, 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 really turn into something. This guy could be an All-American someday, right? I'm not projecting that. But when you look at the raw athleticism and the size of this young man, this is a good get for Mississippi State. And again, you don't expect him to go out there and play next year. And that's kind of part of the deal too. You know, you can afford to kind of take a little time with him because of the fact that you're going to go out and sign some guys in the portal and some guys from junior college as a stopgap to give them the opportunity to develop. And that's something maybe we didn't have this year. You know, you didn't have a lot of guys that maybe you could afford to just let them develop. And that's an important aspect of every bit of this, guys, is, you know, we can't continue to stay on this fast food train of portal. You're going to always be able to use a portal, and you should be able to use a portal to kind of supplement where you are and where, you know, the needs that you have. That's an important aspect of it. But the reality of it is it's just not sustainable, especially for a program like Mississippi State. We just don't have the revenue to go out there and spend $8, $9, $10 million a year to put a roster together, you know. I mean, and you look at what Ole Miss is going through, and, of course, they're going to tell you otherwise. They went all in to win this year and get to the playoffs, and it doesn't look like they're going to make it. But, man, how do you go back to the well again? You know, how do you go back and say, hey, we almost made it this year, and, guys, we're losing everybody, but we need some money from you guys so maybe we don't drop off too much. I mean, it's tough for people to keep digging deep. It is. And there are people that even talked about that they even went and took some money out on their HELOC to be able to help Ole Miss contribute. You know, hey, and you know what? Good for them, right? I don't know that I would have done that, but you know, good for them for making that level of commitment. But it's the current model, and this is not an Ole Miss problem. It's a Mississippi State problem, really a college football problem for everybody outside of maybe the the blue bloods out there. Is we just simply can't continue to replenish the revenue that's going to be required to go out and get an expensive roster year in and year out. When you feel like, hey, we're on the verge of contending for something, then maybe you can say, hey, guys, we need a couple million dollars here to kind of get over the hump and get the missing pieces we need to put this team together. It's a different dynamic. But you know, we've got to be in a situation where we're not so reliant on a portal with a new coach we are. But we'd like to be able to go out and get guys like a Braden Turnage and say, you know, hey, we believed in this kid, and he comes along and develops and then stays with us for 3 or 4 years. You know, senior day has become a different deal, right? You know, you don't have a lot of guys out there on senior day that have been with you the whole time, you know. What's interesting, too, you heard me typing there. I just noticed we didn't have video on Isaiah Mitchell's 247 profile. So you can go, this is free, you can go to the commitment list on Gene's page, and you can watch video, the huddle video of all of the commitments. So that's available to you too for free. You can just go watch that, kind of get up to speed yourself. And then, of course, right now we've got one transfer committed, Javen Williams from Kennesaw State. That is going to grow. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about who hasn't decided and who are names that you need to be kind of mindful of. And so that segment of the show will be brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. I love Campus Bookmart. You do too. You do. And if you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, be sure to reach out to Campus Bookmart to fulfill the wish list of all the Bulldogs on your Christmas shopping list. And buy yourself something too, because you know somebody in your family is going to disappoint you. Your secret Santa is going to disappoint you. Sometimes you got to be Santa for yourself. There's that quarter zip or that new shirt, but there's always something you're looking for that you got your eye on, and you don't want to leave things to chance. So when you're doing a little shopping, don't, you know, maybe buy it and put it up somewhere. Yeah. If you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. You can get my books there too. They carry all of my books there. And that's part of your shipping too, right? You can just use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. And that gets you free shipping on all orders over 75 bones. Any order less than 75 bucks, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's get to some guys that may join the class in the next 24 hours. Now, Jakeem Shumpert, offensive line prospect out of Northwest Mississippi Community College, took an official visit at Mississippi State over the weekend. He said last night, or yesterday, that he had planned to announce his decision at around 10. He did not, but we feel good about him joining the class. He is a guy originally from Shannon, Mississippi, just up the road. Those of you that know this neck of the woods really well. He's had a great 2 years at Northwest Mississippi Community College. And got about 30 offers. I think we have 26 listed on his profile, 247. But just to kind of give you an idea here, offers, of course, from Mississippi State and a few G5s, obviously. But Kansas State, you know, Texas State, Virginia Tech, a few others. But, you know, a lot of offers, mainly from the G5. But this, again, a massive offensive line prospect, 6'5", 325 pounds. You talk about getting bigger at the line of scrimmage on both sides. It's clear that is a plan for Mississippi State. Another name that you could expect to see tomorrow announced for Mississippi State is Matthew LeFoe, offensive line prospect, a guard slash center. You can read about his official visit over at Gene's page. I believe we're the only people that have had an interview with him since his visit. Same thing for Shumpert as well. But LeFoe, 6'5", 350. Yeah. Yeah. Big dude. And playing guard. Now, and you go back and look at what we played with this year, and you look across the board at the guys that we're going out and getting now. We needed to upgrade. Needed to upgrade our talent level, but also, too, you know, our size. And two massive guys from the junior college ranks. Now, also, cornerback Kyle Johnson. Interesting guy. We thought he may commit to us back in June. And there were some other people kind of forecasting that. And then Kyle kind of let us know that he was going to be loyal to Houston. Well, then he elects to take the official visit to State, didn't flip, stayed with them, came back to Mississippi State for an unofficial visit. Things kind of got going again. Then Virginia offers. They bring him in for an official visit. And as we go into the final hours, we're not exactly sure what he's going to do. Again, some intrigue with him. I like him a lot. I think he would be a great addition to this class. But, you know, another guy you look at and say, you know what, maybe, just maybe, you have an opportunity to flip him. Would be another flip, for sure. That'd be a good thing, too. But, you know, 5'11", 170-ish, currently rated a 4-star. So that'd be nice for the ranking to add him. He's a 91. Would be really nice to add him to the class. And again, here we are in the end, not exactly sure, you know, what he's going to do. But, you know, again, another possibility for Mississippi State. I want to get to a couple other things, too, you know, about, you know, tomorrow. The timing of these announcements are going to be spread out a little bit. You know, the sooner you of course, Jeff Levy's going to meet with the media. And so we'd like to have all the signees in. And so I suspect around lunch tomorrow, it'll all be in focus, if not before then. You know, guys can sign fairly early. You got a couple guys, you know, in different time zones. But, you know, that's something to kind of monitor as we get through the day. And we'll have full coverage over at jeanspage.com. Now, we'll tweet out signing day stories to kind of get you familiar with the guys if you're unfamiliar. A lot of people only keep up with recruiting around signing day. And then you want to say, well, Steve, what do we have right now? Well, I like the class, but I don't know there's a lot of impact players in this class as it stands. That's why the portal is so significant. Now, right now, 247 has the State class ranked at 26. So you start thinking about it, you add Shumpert, add LeFoe, and possibly add Kyle Johnson. You should be able to get in the top 25 and stay there through the December signing period. And really, nobody's talking about that. Nobody's even talking about with the 2-10 year that Jeff Levy could sign a top 25 class. We haven't signed a lot of top 25 classes at Mississippi State in the last decade. And to be able to do it with a 2-10 class year, I think says a lot about the staff and about the relationships they've built. And I don't think it was necessarily a great year in State. But I think when you begin to look through this thing, you begin to kind of ask yourself, you know, hey, Steve, what if, right? So let's do, Of course, there's some ebb and flow with this, but we have the class calculator at 247 Sports. And of course, that doesn't factor in what everybody else adds. But just to kind of give you an idea here, let's add Kyle Johnson to the class and see what that does for us. All right, Kyle Johnson from Bunky, right? If we add him, and let's say we add Matthew LaFoe, right? I'm typing. You can hear me typing. Matthew LaFoe, and we'll add Jakeem Shumpert. Let's say we hang on to what we have, and we add those three, and that's kind of a best case scenario. All right, well, that would give us a point total of 226.68. That moves us up 5 points. And when you look at the class rankings, I think that's an important aspect of this thing here too. If I can find it, you know, the class rankings here, maybe we can, the team rankings. So that we're right about 227. So that would push Mississippi State into the top 25. Now, again, we don't know what everybody else is going to add tomorrow, but we're just right outside of the top 25. And then there'll be the rankings at the end of the portal process, too, where you have the cumulative rankings for everybody involved. That's an important aspect of this thing, too, you know. What do we do from here? And I think that's an important aspect, too. I'm counting transfers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 right now. We're going to talk about that shortly. But, you know, you got to make some room on the roster, you know, for new names. And there are a couple things I want to say about that before we get, you know, too deep in the reads there. I joke all the time, you know, about, you know, what it'll take for me to retire. At some point, we all age out, right? And some people would argue, I'm still a young guy. In my industry, I'm a dinosaur. You know, there's not a lot of people been doing this longer than me within our industry. And there's a lot of people that used to work in the newspaper industry that have joined our industry over the years. And so we're not going to give them credit for that because you know, there's only so many phone calls to a high school teenager you can make in your career. But I tell you, it's not the you know, running down kids after an official visit that bothers me. I mean, it bothers me some. You know, it's like having to chase these kids down to get information because you guys are eager to hear. And a lot of these guys, too, want to get home and talk to their family. And so it's not always easy, right? And we do things the right way. You know, that's how we do it. And we always will. And if we can't get a kid on the phone, we'll try to get a coach. We'll try to get somebody to help us, you know, his high school coaches. But, you know, we're not going to go do anything we're not supposed to do. But, you know, one of the things that aggravates me really about dealing with the public is the fantastical reactions to stuff just for the sake of reacting. Let me give you an example. So Jeffrey Pippen, running back, Jeff was a big part of things for us last year. I was excited about him coming in this year. He was dismissed from the team, according to Jeff Levy, before the season started. Don't know all the details behind it. We haven't pried into that. He enters the portal yesterday, and some of these Facebook comments just absolutely over the top. He didn't play a snap this year. And people are like, well, what are we going to do? Well, the same thing we did last year. We still played a football game. We still facilitated a season without Jeffrey Pippen. And that's nothing against Jeff. We have Gabe Moore go in today. And people are like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? He didn't play a snap. You know, we learned that he was having some medical issues earlier in the year. They elected to redshirt him this year. Now he's leaving the program. But we got people in the Facebook groups that are just absolutely jumping off the ledge. So let's go over, and again, the news is coming in fast and furious. So by the time you listen to the show, there may be more. But as of now, there have been 10 players that have announced their intentions to enter the NCAA transfer portal. They're not in the portal yet. So they can't be contacted directly. Many of them have agents, so those agents can be contacted. But a lot of guys want to get it out early, right? Because the sooner you get it out there, the sooner you get on somebody's radar. Like if you just go ahead and enter the portal, you know, then you know people are kind of having to play catch up. And so we're basically 6 days away from the portal opening. Our season is over. So these guys that are not going to be retained, and there's some of that, everybody acts like people are leaving us. Sometimes we're leaving them. You know, Tobias Hinton tweeted out yesterday, you guys act like it's our decision. They want to get their own players in here. And there's some very candid conversations that have to happen with these players. You sit them down and say, hey, you know, chances of you playing this next year, not good. You know, you're running second team now. We're going to bring in a guy from the portal at your position, which will move you to third team. And so, you know, we think it's better for you to go somewhere else if you want to play. And if you want to stay, you know, that's your option, but you're not going to play here. And honestly, that's the more merciful thing, is you tell those guys now, you don't want them to waste another year of eligibility. That's an important aspect of it, right? You know, why would we want to keep guys on the roster that can't help us? And if they've already lost favor with us, the best thing for us to do is to let them know. It's like, hey, you know, listen, we're just going to shoot you straight. That's a difficult thing to do, but it's the fair thing to do. So far, 10 transfer outs. Linebacker Ty Cooper. Wide receiver J.J. Harrell, and I'm really disappointed in that one. I am. J.J. was a guy that really was a leader for us in that class last year. I'm a J.J. fan. I always will be. Great young man. Great. And I think maybe he's being a little bit impatient with himself. But, you know, you look up for J.J. Harrell, and it's like, hey, they played four freshman receivers this year. Stonka Burnside played. San Francisco McGee played. Ricky Johnson played. Mario Craver played, and I didn't play. And so he has to kind of consider for himself, you know, hey, what if maybe I'm not going to play here. You know, I was the lead dog in this class, and now all of a sudden I can't get on the field. So I still got 4 years of eligibility to work with. You know, what do I do? And again, I wish he would stick it out. I really do, because I think J.J. has some ability. And J.J. was a little bit banged up this spring, a little bit. I mean, not a lot, but a little bit. But, you know, if you're J.J., look at it from his point of view. And, you know, I didn't sniff the field this year. And I helped him keep this class together. And then guys that I helped retain and convince to stay with Mississippi State played and I didn't. So I've got to think about kind of what's best for me in my future. Linebacker Tobias Hinton has not played a snap in 2 years at Mississippi State. Now, I can tell you, when he came to camp 2 years ago, we weren't exactly sure if we were going to take him. The camp kind of made the decision, and we took him. And a lot of it's because, you know, he played edge at Hattiesburg. And we wondered, you know, can he make the transition to playing in a two-point stance and getting out and covering? At the very least, I thought he would have played some special teams for us. But he hadn't played a snap. And he's leaving. And wish him the best. Another very quality young man. But, you know, he's taken up, you know, 2 years of scholarship but have not, you know, provided a snap. And so you got to ask yourself, you know, what's the best thing for Tobias Hinton and Mississippi State? Well, it's probably best that we just part ways. John Lewis, linebacker, went to Media Day for Mississippi State this year. It's one of those things, too, well, who do you send, right? John Lewis was the guy that kind of made himself as a senior at Germantown High School. He's coming here and at times has made some plays. He's a great athlete, but it just hadn't come together. So he's leaving. Another great young man. We wish him the best. But Mississippi State's got to get bigger and more talented. You look at, you know, we mentioned Gabe Moore. You know, guy that didn't play at all this year because of some medical issues. Wide receiver Trent Hudson. You know, got it elected to opt out and redshirt this year and transfer. And, of course, there was some discussion, you know, beginning of the year that you know, he's running first team wide receiver and then didn't play. And then, of course, there was some social media traffic from the family about that. You know, it's like, hey, how does he go from being wide receiver one to not getting on the field? And so made the decision. And, again, maybe, hey, I'm not going to play here. I think he could have helped us. But, you know, I'm not seeing him every day in practice. But, again, we wish him the best. And Chris Parson, you know, this is a surprise to nobody, right? Last quarterback to ever commit to Mike Leach. That's an interesting, you know, that's an interesting dynamic, you know, for him. I'm having to send some direction here. But the reality of it is that, you know, Chris was recruited to play in a different system. And, you know, we tried to put him in a situation that, you know, he was kind of the running quarterback at times, and we didn't use that a lot. We kept him engaged a little bit against Texas, and then we didn't play him, you know. And obviously, he's already used the redshirt year, so he has 3 years of eligibility left. But, you know, it's just kind of a dynamic situation with Chris. And, you know, I absolutely love Chris, and I think he is a great young man. Every time I see him, he goes out of his way to speak. He's one of those kinds of people. You see him around town, he'll go, hey, what's going on? How's you and your family? You know, a great young man. And he will find an opportunity somewhere. But he's not one of Jeff Lebby's guys. And when you've got an offensive guy that knows what he wants in the quarterback position, inherited quarterbacks have a tough time translating. You know, we went through all this, you know, with Keaton Thompson. You know, when Joe Moorhead was here, you know, he didn't fit what Joe wanted in the quarterback position. Goes to Virginia, has a really good experience and a good career there. And, you know, we love Keaton. You know, we do. I think everybody kind of saw that for what it is. But every time that you have a new coach, you're going to have quarterbacks that transfer. You know, we saw all the air raid guys leave once Leach passed away, you know. With exception of Will Rogers, the much maligned Will Rogers. But, yeah, I don't fault Chris. And I've been very proud of the Mississippi State fan base that, you know, have come out and kind of shared those same sentiments to Chris. You know, Chris was the guy, too, to kind of help keep the class together, you know, after Coach Leach died. And I'm very grateful to Chris, and his dad is an outstanding guy as well. And you can tell that Chris was raised correctly. And you can tell that Chris Parson's a guy that's going to win in life. And unfortunately, won't be here for us. But I have no doubt that Chris is going to go somewhere else. And Chris is going to have a great career. And Chris will have the opportunity to make some plays for somebody. And I just hope it's not against Mississippi State, right? I mean, I'm sure you all feel the same way. You know, it's just, you know, we wish them the best wherever they go. There's no hard feelings. And it's sad, you know, to see some guys that that we love and care about, you know, leave the program. But it's part of the deal. We've already mentioned running back Jeffrey Pittman. I mentioned earlier that, you know, maybe at corner Bryce Pollock coming back would be a good thing. Well, Bryce is now entering the portal. And what's interesting about Bryce, too, is I mentioned kind of getting him on the same level of the guys that kind of came before him. You know, it's like we needed to kind of coach him up. But he played some as a true freshman out of necessity. But a lot of people said, hey, maybe he's in the same line as DeCam and Martin and Emmanuel Forbes. And I don't know that I agree with that, but he had some moments this year. I don't know that anybody you look at and say had a great year at corner. But I think Bryce is a guy that that showed some promise, and you know, wish him the best wherever he goes to. And he's probably the most significant, you know, as far as like snap counts of the guys that have left us, that you look at and say, okay, well, that's some production you're going to have to fill, you know. And then, of course, Creed Whittemore. And, you know, no real change in his status, no real surprise. A lot of people were upset, you know, when Creed and those guys opted out. And I understand everybody's got to do what's best for themselves. You know, here's my attitude about that. You know, I think if you don't want to be part of the team, then you're not part of the team. Now, Jeff Lebby elected to allow some of those guys you know, continue to use the facilities and, you know, work out on a scout team. And, you know, that's Jeff's decision. That's not Steve's decision. My attitude about it is I would not have done that. That's my opinion, you know. And so, and the reason that I say that is I don't want a negative element in my locker room. And I'm not saying that Creed's been negative. That's not what I'm suggesting. But when I've got a guy interacting with my players day in and day out that is not committed to the future of Mississippi State football, I see that as a negative. I'm not saying that Creed's in there saying negative things. I haven't heard nothing like that. I'm just speaking in general terms here. All of a sudden, guys have a daily reminder that this guy is leaving. Does that make sense? And so if you're going, go, right? That's my feeling. Now, maybe Jeff Lebby saw some benefit. You know, maybe he's like, hey, maybe we can convince him to stay. You know, we don't want him to waste a year of eligibility without, you know, getting reps or whatever. But, yeah, but you sign kids to play. And I've always been a guy that's been very much an advocate for student-athlete rights. I think we have overcorrected in many respects. And what I mean by that is if you're receiving scholarship money from Mississippi State, you're receiving a stipend, you're receiving NIL funds from Mississippi State, then you better have your butt ready to play. And so if we're paying for your education, we're paying for your housing, and through NIL, perhaps paying for a lot of your luxury items in your life, you have an obligation to us. You do. You know, we've had so much talk about fans, right? Fans. We need to have more access. You know, we need more of a say. I think this is one of the things that fans have a right to be upset about. You know, we're donating to the Bulldog Club. We're buying season tickets, and we've got somebody that's using our facilities and benefiting from the money that we donate and the money that we spend on tickets, and then they're not committed to Mississippi State football. And I'm not criticizing Jeff Lebby because, again, I don't know the discussions that he and Creed had. No clue, right? None whatsoever. But I don't want anybody from the cleaning staff to the coaching staff that in the SIL complex that aren't 100% committed to Mississippi State winning football games. That's my feeling. And I'm entitled to that opinion. And I think most of you share that opinion. I do. And again, I don't know the agreement or arrangements they had. But I think it's a bad thing to allow a guy that is not committed to helping us win this year or next year to remain around the players that are. I think it's a negative. And that's not being, you know, ranting and raving and being, you know, I'm just telling you, as a guy that's coached, not at this level, but a guy that's facilitated a team, you know, it's just like when, you know, when I was in retail, people would come up and give me their 2-week notice and say, hey, I want to give you my 2 weeks. Well, thanks for the notice. We don't need it. You can go ahead and go. Oh, well, I plan to work my 2 weeks. And I'm telling you, that's no longer necessary, right? It's the same principle. I don't want any short-timers in my organization. I don't want people that aren't committed to sending our seniors out on a winning note. And I don't care how boisterous you are in the locker room or how vocally supportive you are. If you're not out there in the trenches, if you're not willing to go out there and put your body on the line to help those guys get a win, I don't want you in the locker room. That's my feeling. All right, final segment of the show, brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I'll be staying there end of the month. Can't wait. Can't wait to have everybody under one roof and just kind of having everybody around for Thanksgiving, with one exception. Audrey wasn't here, but we had everybody else here. It was just so great to have everybody around, just kind of doing nothing, right? Played some games, watched some Mississippi State men's basketball together, and it was really more about time spent. It's more about the company than the entertainment, and that's how life should really be, right? It's true. Hey, you need to be the linchpin in your own family or your own circle of friends, and you make the plans. Because if you wait around for somebody else, you know Renee's not going to do it. You know Jim's not going to call you. They'll say, oh, yeah, we need to get together more often, and then you never do. So you be the organizer within your group. You Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Five, soon to be six bedrooms, two bath, that great back porch area, the full service kitchen, the wet bar, the fire pit area. What more could you ask for? Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can bring everybody in, take in a Mississippi State men's game one night, the women's game the next. Just kind of enjoy being in Starkville and all your favorite restaurants, your favorite shops. It's not like a typical game day weekend for football, right? You just come up here and enjoy the greatest city in the world with all your friends and family, just kind of tucked away quietly, just 5 minutes away from the state campus. You got one neighbor out there. We don't want you throwing a rager, but it just kind of illustrates to you all the peace and quiet and a tremendous amount of parking. And get out there and have a good time. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the Facebook page is going to auto-populate. You can look through all the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. But some booking options are also going to pop up for you. Airbnb, VRBO, you can go that route. But if you want to save some money, I can help you. Book through the Evolve website, promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, Beautiful Steve Robertson 10, and you get 10% off your stay. BSR10, and you get 10% off your stay. Be sure and check it out today, the greatest place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Okay. All right, so again, the news is coming in fast and furious, and even if you're not a Gene's Page subscriber, you know, we make all this like big news, like commitments and transfer portal entries, all that stuff is free. So even if you're not a member, you can come and read for free. You can watch our videos for free. But if you want to subscribe right now, it's 50% off the annual VIP membership for the rest of the year. We're going to run that throughout December. And you and I both know somebody in your family is going to disappoint you with a gift. But you know what? Maybe just bring it up and say, hey, I'd love to have this Gene's Page membership, and you can get it 50% off. It's a gift that gives all year long. You can come be a part of the message boards. You can come be a part of our community. Get your questions answered by our experts. And there are sometimes, too, you guys will ask a question, and you know, hey, we'll go ask Zach Selman. We'll go ask somebody in Lee Hall. We'll go ask somebody in media relations. Say, hey, we've got a member here that would like to know this. You know, what's really going on with this, right? That's important to understand. While you're also thinking about gift ideas, you go to dutynoblebook.com. And you can get signed copies of The Dude and all my sports titles, plus When the Bottom Falls. I got a phone call yesterday, believe it or not, from an Ole Miss grandfather that recently got the book and got a member of his family that's new to recovery, and they're just trying to learn a little bit more, and I think it's an amazing thing. All books ordered through the website are signed. How cool is that? Reminds me, too, we got book signings this weekend. I will be at Lemuria Books On Saturday, Lemuria Books and Persnickety. Let me give you the times on those. So this Saturday, December the 7th, from noon to 1, I'm at Lemuria Books. This Saturday. So if you need personalization in Central Mississippi, this is the time to come. This Saturday, noon to 1, Lemuria Books. And then Madison, you guys have been great to me every time I've gone to Persnickety, from 2 to 4. 2 to 4 in Madison, and some of you Madison Bulldogs that I know, I need to see your faces that day too, even if it's just to get a hug. Now this Sunday, I'll be at Book Martin Cafe downtown, and next Tuesday, kind of getting ahead of ourselves, a week from today, we'll be at Tupelo's Reed's Gumtree Bookstore from noon to 2. So a lot going on. We're going to be really busy here between now and Christmas, but this Saturday, Lemuria Books, noon to 1, Persnickety 2 to 4 in Madison. Come out and be a part of that. And, of course, if you're looking for a unique gift idea, True Rest Floats by Starkville. Running BOGO. Buy one, get one free. We've had a lot of people. We had somebody come in the other day, bought 6 BOGOs. Going to give those as gifts. Maybe you got some students up here. Maybe you got married friends. Maybe you got a mom that could use some time to herself. Maybe it's a date night deal. We got a lot of guys that come float, too. We got a lot of athletes that come float. A lot of our Air Base military folks over in Columbus come float. Yeah, men and women. And so consider that. BOGO, call 662-268-7601, or you can find us on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok at True Rest Float Spa Starville. I think the last video Dana did got 25,000 views on TikTok. TikTok famous, I guess you would say. Okay, so we're going to be back tomorrow after the Jeff Levy comments. Like, as soon as we get done with all that, I'll get back here and we'll review kind of what happened. But I'm up to the volition right now that it's anything that happens tomorrow that is a surprise is the negative variety, with the exception of Kyle Johnson. If you get Kyle Johnson, that is a very, very positive development for Mississippi State. Any other surprises? Negative. We expect Jakeem Shumpert to sign. We expect Matthew LeFou to sign tomorrow. So it's two more guys that will add to the class and potentially Kyle Johnson. But the main thing is we don't want to lose anybody. And, of course, you know, we feel good about Tyler Lockhart today. We know that Ole Miss isn't going to give up. But as I've shared with people, you know, it's one of these deals, too, with, you know, Ty is a guy, too, that just really, you know, doesn't like doing interviews, doesn't like kind of being on a spot. And so he'll kind of tell everybody what he needs to kind of get out of the moment. That can be a positive and a negative thing. But I will submit to you that if he didn't want to play with his brother, he never would have decommitted from Auburn. Yeah, that aspect of it, right? And so unless T.J. Lockhart goes in the portal, I'm not going to be worried about Ole Miss and Tyler Lockhart. But I have learned that weird things happen in the last 24 hours. You guys remember the T. Shepherd stuff? I mean, you know, of course, you know, we signed Malik Heath. You know, James Williams, you know, announced for Ole Miss. He was a non-qualifier, but they wanted to get him. Cordell Giles, same situation. That's back when we all signed in place non-qualifiers. But, you know, weird things happen, and it's always in the Ole Miss playbook that they want to flip a Mississippi State commitment at or around signing day. Just kind of how it is. And despite what they say, I mean, they're not out there looking to flip an LSU guy, right? Not on signing day. And listen, they've had some success. I mean, it is what it is. To suggest otherwise would be disingenuous. But the reality of it is we need to hang on to what we got and add a few more. But I am always bracing for impact in these last 24 hours. Always. And you want to have chatter because you want to make sure that you've got guys that people want. I mean, if we got a bunch of guys that nobody's chasing the final week of the process, that tells me we didn't evaluate well. You know, there's some guys in there that obviously just kind of like Luke Work, right? Luke Work was born a Bulldog. It was just a matter if he was going to have the size and talent to play football at Mississippi State. So once he committed, you never worried about that one. But you don't have a lot of those guys in this class. You don't have a lot of those guys. It was their dream to play at Mississippi State. You know, I honestly think that Luke Work would have came here anyway, period, just to wear the uniform, right? I don't think it would have mattered to Luke. Like if somebody else said, hey, we'll give you a certain amount of money, I think Luke comes anyway. Because it was Luke's desire to be a Bulldog. And so we don't have a lot of guys like that in this class. We're just kind of coast into signing day. You know, some of those Sylvester Krim classes, there was some of that too. And you know, ultimately we had to kind of play with those guys, you know. And as again, I go back to Melvin Smith 316, something he told me years ago. It's not the kids you don't get that get you beat. It's the kids you sign that can't play that get you beat. And we're dealing with some of that now, kind of the purging of that now. And that's not to be critical or disrespectful to anybody that has worn the maroon and white. But if they're not going to play here, we have to open up a spot for somebody that can't. And that's not to say that we're going to be 100%, but again, you've already got 10 names announcing for the portal. I expect that number to exceed 20 when it's all said and done. And I think when you factor in, you know, the seniors that are leaving, you know, the seniors that are graduating and have exhausted their eligibility, it's probably going to be about 40 new Bulldogs. You know, new roster spots are going to open up. You know, we went through that last year. Like, we had like 45 new Bulldogs, and some of those guys are one-year dogs. But this is going to be a dramatically different roster from 2023. You know, we got to flip the roster. And we thought we had done some big things last year. Of course, you have a couple of injuries there and kind of derails your plans. But we've got to get bigger, faster, stronger, or we're going to get left behind. And, again, we'll come back tomorrow and kind of recap any events of the day. Nothing ever surprises me. I'm just letting you guys know. And my wife says it's because I'm paranoid and insecure. I just think I'm always preparing for a worst case scenario when in the world of recruiting, because I know that anything can happen. I know you guys do too. So y'all be sure to kind of hang in here with us. Full coverage all day long at Gene's page. We'll be up and ready to go. First thing in the morning, we'll have a thread, the National Signing Day thread on our VIP message board. It's a great time to subscribe. Just go ahead and jump in. 50% off. And then, of course, once we get done with this week, it's wide open portal for the rest of the month. Yeah. Portal visits, portal commitments, portal offers. And those guys typically commit on their visits. And then we get into January, we may have a handful of guys that visit and sign in February. Maybe. You just have to see how things go. And then you know what happens in February, right? College baseball starts. I saw something today, 73 days away from the beginning of college baseball. We got a lot to deal with between now and then. We got a lot of developments got to happen on the recruiting side for football. We got some great basketball to come to. And don't forget Wednesday, big day. Ladies play Georgia Tech, and the men play Pitt. And so we'll talk a little bit about that tomorrow on the show after we wrap up signing day. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.